Welcome. Jump into the Compassionate Leader Circle podcast, where leading with love isn't just nice, it's genius. I'm Laurel Donnellan.
And I'm Daryl Brown. We'll unpack business strategies infused with empathy and action, driving both profit and purpose. Our world is ever-changing, so discover how the savvy leader wears compassion as their power suit.
Daryl, it's so nice to talk to you about one of our favorite topics. I'm very excited today because I get to ask you questions about faith. And at Compassionate Leader Circle, when we work with individuals, faith, the practice of faith is connecting to soul. And when we work with companies, we talk about faith being connecting to inspiration. And I'm excited to talk to you about your journey around faith and connecting to soul and how you're inspired. So maybe we can start with your sort of soul story as a youngin. how were you brought up around religion and faith?
First of all, thank you so much, Laurel, for having me. And as always, I look forward to talking to you about a myriad of subjects. And, faith has evolved in my life over the years. I had no idea what faith was all about when I was younger. I was spoon-fed a way to think about faith. And I'm not going to say force-fed. I was spoon-fed. I was forced to go to church and Sunday school. And I went with a bunch of people that nobody really spoke about faith, if you had asked me when I was 10 years old, what was faith or do you have faith? I really couldn't have given you an answer. I knew that people talked about God, people talked about heaven, people talked about hell, people talked about the right thing to do. I had a great aunt, my Aunt Willie, who used to say, you could do that, but God don't like ugly.
And, whoa.
That's exactly right. I didn't know exactly what she meant, but I did know that I needed to stop doing what I was doing. faith was tricky early on. I came to understand my own concept of faith, that I could develop my own concept of faith later on in life.
So what do you think the most important moments along the way have been for you to sort of get on a road to real faith? I mean, the way that I define faith is a positive belief, right? So that could be in the future, that could be for God, that could be for, positive belief that things will get better. But what are the things along the way that where you went from not really understanding faith to being, in my opinion, watching you, I feel like you're devoted to a spiritual path.
Well, to tell you the truth, when I understood, I don't know. My Aunt Willie said, God don't like ugly. Well, that sounds like a vengeful God. I now believe, this whole heaven and hell thing. I believe that we create our own heaven here on earth. And there is no hell. I think that our connection to good living is what heaven is all about. So my faith has developed into good living and understanding what good living is. And I kind of like that Because it's not hard to be nice. It's not hard to try to live a life that is deemed good. Goodness. There's goodness in it. And the basis of that is, for me, thinking of others. When you think of others, you think less about you, right? So when I think of others, I think less about me. And that, in turn, is what I call being right-sized, right? I'm no bigger, no smaller. I just want to do my part in this whole big thing called living in the world, right? You know, I used to love that term, that saying, it's your world, I'm just living in it. It's really true. It's your world, it's my world, it's everybody's world. We're all just living in it, right? So what are you going to do? What are you going to do to make it the best world you can?
So what helps you live well? Like, what are the practices you have in your life now that build faith, that build a positive outlook?
So I want to tie that back to what I said earlier. The God don't like ugly statement obviously stuck in my head for a long time. Right?
It's a doozy.
Yes, it is. So if there is no ugly, right? And I believe that. I believe there is no ugly. I think that we all struggle, right? Life is just life. And there are times when life just gets lifey, right? It's just that it is what it is. So, you know, I've been sober for 35 years now. And my sobriety is based on, and I believe this, I have a daily reprieve from living a life thinking I'm in charge, a daily reprieve from being ego-driven. And I think, I really believe that our egos wanting more, wanting to be better than, being afraid of being less than, being afraid of not having enough, it's just, it's all about self. And I think more selflessness is needed. And so that's what I try to do daily, right? The God don't like ugly part of me is ego driven. It really is. It has to do with my ego. And I lived my first 35 years. So now I've been sober for as long as I was out there trying not to have God look at the ugliness that I, you know, and so faith for me is knowing that I'm doing my part. And if I'm doing my part, whatever happens will happen, right? But I think that it there's goodness around the corner. I think that there's goodness around the corner.
I think that's a nice way to live. It's a way to live in hope and not fear, you know? Sure. And I think the things that are happening on the planet right now, including two wars and beyond, make it hard to stay in hope. But what advice might you give listeners who are struggling in the struggle of things to find that belief that things are going to be better?
Well, this isn't the first time that there have been wars. It's not the first time that madmen have perpetrated atrocities on others. Who have done nothing, the less fortunate, I mean, ones, I think that wars are always ego-driven, always. You know, it's either about religion, real estate, or romance. And all three of them are ego-driven. The three R's, right? And which is why I try to practice ego deflation on a daily basis. Because I don't want to fall prey to that. I want to make sure that today I'm doing my part. I have faith that if I do my part today, that, again, goodness is around the corner, right?
Yeah.
I cannot control other people's egos. I can't control Netanyahu's ego. I can't control. Now, the right or wrong of it is not for debate. I mean, it's where we all going to end up is really, are you contributing to the welfare of mankind or not? That's the black or white of it, right? And I have faith that eventually we'll get back to that.
Yeah, and I also share this belief that we've all created it, and we, you know, in some ways, I believe in oneness, that we're all connected, right? We're connected to everyone on all sides as humans. We're connected to the earth. We're connected to the animals. We're connected to the past. We're connected to the future. I think a lot about what can I do to be part of the solution and not contribute to the problem. And I think that brings me back to ego deflation too, because sometimes it's nothing. The answer is nothing, you know, or make a phone call to someone you know is suffering and help someone in your community if something terrible is happening on the other side of the planet. So I like this motto of goodness is around the corner. I think I can stand on that. I like that a lot.
Yeah. That,
and we can contribute to it.
Well, there you go. You just hit it, Laurel. You know, there are bad things happening. You know, I have a spiritual advisor. He's a Jesuit priest. I've told you about him. He's been a Jesuit for 75 years. And I went to him about 6 months ago when yet another black boy was shot and killed by the police because they thought he had a gun. And I was angry. I was angry because my boys are, you know, my boys are as susceptible as that boy who got shot. And there were parents and neighborhoods who are going to be without the gifts that that boy had to offer the world. So I was very angry. I went up to my spiritual advisor. We sat for an hour, hour and a half. And I said, what do I do with this? What do I do with this? And what he said to me was, Daryl, there is evil in the world. And there is nothing that he could do or I could do about the evil that exists in the world. So best to focus my energies on what I can do instead of focusing my energies on something that I have no control of whatsoever. So now let's go back to what am I doing in my own community? Let's not, you know, what am I doing to help gun violence in South Dallas? Am I doing anything, right? Have I written a letter to my congressman? You know, have I held him accountable for what he's doing in Washington on gun violence? So, what are we doing our part? And when you get right size, those kinds of messages come to you.
Yeah. And you're not distracted by the evil. You're focused on solutions, right? Like the evil can just take you down.
Well, we only have so much energy, all right? Yeah. We only have so much energy. And if my focus is on the negativity, right? I'm giving that bad energy so much of my focus, then there's no energy to be of service in other ways. Right. Yeah. And I'm not, you know, I'm not contributing to that goodness that's around the corner.
Yeah. I'd like to kind of bring it back to a little bit about our method and this idea of faith. So one of the things we talk about is soul leaks and then plugging the leaks with soul activities. So because I've worked with people with no faith that are agnostic or atheist, and I've worked with devout people who might be Catholic or Jewish, I've had to come up with like, what's a method around faith that works for everyone? So we've already talked about a positive point of view. Goodness is around the corner is a perfect example of that. And we share an experience of sobriety. One of the positive things I think about a lot from AA is one day at a time. That can be a positive thought. Because even when you're struggling, you can get through. And then there's practices that strengthen your resolve or strengthen your faith. So I'm curious about what are the things you do in your week? I mean, I also, you mentioned a few, right? So you have a spiritual advisor, which is wonderful. But what are the things you do throughout your week that strengthen your positive point of view? What are the practices?
Well, let's talk about a day first. Before we get into the week, let's talk about a day.
Okay.
I have started reading positive reflections by people other than myself in the morning.
Nice.
You know, I used to do the New York Times crossword puzzle. And that took too long. And then I started doing the spelling bee, which didn't take as long, but it required a level of concentration that I said, wow, look how much concentration I'm giving this, and I'm not even awake yet. So now I've started to read, right? There are certain pages that I read in AA's good book, the big book, that are all about self-examination. You know, they're all about preparing for the day. And they're all about ego deflation. So that's one thing. Another thing I do, so I read something positive, something that's going to be helpful. The other thing that I do, Laurel, is I reach out to some of the men that I work with, and we talk. We just, you know, how's this going? How's that going? We help each other, right? We help each other in ways that men don't always do, don't always offer themselves up to do. We nurture each other, right? We create safe spaces for one another. So there's not a day that goes by that I don't talk to one of the guys I work with. And I will send them, there are a couple of them who I know struggle a little bit. I send them a copy of the daily reflection on a daily basis. Every day I send it to them because I want them to know I'm thinking about them and this helped me. So it might help you too. Right. So that comes down to getting out of me and thinking about something else. Right. Being part of the solution, as you say, and being part of that search for goodness.
Such a nice way to start the day, too.
Yeah, it's a nice way to start the day. And I will also say, you know, I got to cop to this, too. It prepares me for the moments that I might need to pause and reach back and say, remember, you know, how you want to go about this, that, or the other today. You know, because if somebody cuts me off when I'm driving up to the golf course, I might have a few words like for that person. Or, you know, those are the types of things that can throw me off again, right? You know, a friend might call and, ask me to do something that would take me off of my plan, and I have to alter my plan. And I might say, in my mind, oh no, I can't. And then I pause and I reflect and I say, no, I'm supposed to be of service. So yeah, we can do that. I'm not that important that I can't do that. So it helps me be a little more available.
So what are you looking forward to? You continue to be on a path of spiritual development. I love that you have a spiritual advisor now. what are you looking forward to around faith and connecting to soul in the future?
I believe that my faith, first of all, faith eventually, if you have enough faith, it will turn into belief. And when I say I believe in something, my passion flame gets turned up tenfold. So I'm involved in a couple of things now that I'm kind of tiptoeing around. One thing in particular that I'm kind of tiptoeing around, but I feel that flame getting turned up. I feel that passion flame getting turned up a little bit. So I'm interested. You know, I wake up with a new vigor, and that's, you know, as we age, I could settle in and say, I'll play golf today. I'll do this and I'll come back and I'll make a little something to eat for me and my wife and, watch a little TV, go to bed and do it all over again. And I believe that there's more to life than that, right? And so first it's faith that there is more to life. Then there's belief that I can contribute to that part, right? That's the goodness part. And staying right size, I believe that in meditation and prayer, I'm going to get messages that what I'm about to do, act on, is the right way to go, right?
Yeah, I think there's like a practical reward for being on a spiritual path, whatever that means for you, is that you're more confident in your decisions.
Absolutely.
Because you're connected.
Absolutely. Well, now let's go back to what you said before. All my relations, right? I am, we are all connected, right? As long as you realize the flow of life, is, it's like a river. It's kind of flow one way, and either you're in it, right? If you want to be in it, then do your part, right? Then do your part. So I want to be in it. I don't want to just watch it go by, right? I told my advisor's 92. I said, Father Joe, how long do you want to live? And before I got the V out of live, he said, forever.
He sounds so cool. I think we should have him on the podcast. Definitely.
Oh, he'd love it. He'd love it. He'd
yeah,
love it.
I think
he'd
you need it. To interview him, and I could be the, hold some space for you guys. But I think that would be such a lovely, lovely podcast.
Yeah, well, I ripped him off so many times, but I tell him, I said, Father Joe, I'm going to rip you off. I'm going to use that in the next talk I give.
Can you remember, I think you told me something he said about gratitude, which was so wonderful. Tell us about that.
Yeah, you reminded me, because I have to give a talk on Sunday that I'm very nervous about. And what he said about gratitude was because I was telling him that I have a lot of gratitude, Father Joe, for this, for that, for the other. He said, "Oh, Daryl, please, you can't stop with gratitude. You have to love what you do. You have to love what you have. You have to put all of you in it. It can't just be great. You can't just be thankful for it, right? There's more to do, right? Is what he's telling me. There's more to do with that." And so that love, finding that love and not just gratitude for something, and doing something with it, right? There's action to take from gratitude, was his point. And
yes.
I never thought of it that way.
I never have either. I just love the distinction of gratitude is fine, but there's more, and love and joy and embracing things and digging into them is what we're here to do. So thank you for digging into faith a bit with me today. It was a wonderful conversation, and luckily we can have many more together. I'm looking forward to it.
So do I.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And that's a heart-wrapped episode of the Compassionate Leader Circle podcast. May your compass always point to kindness.
As you navigate the world, let compassion be your North Star. Join us next time as we continue to redefine success one heart-led decision at a time.
Lead wisely, lead with heart. You can learn more about us at CompassionateLeadersCircle.com.